This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Technical Net is open to all radio amateurs licensed to transmit in the 2 meter band. You need not be a Bergen Amateur Radio Association or BARA member to participate. All amateurs are welcome. And the purpose of this net is to discuss any subject within amateur radio, mostly technical, because we have a technical hobby, but even something that's inconsequential as, you know, how do I do this or how do I do that, which may not appear to be technical, is by definition technical because it's an amateur radio-related question. If you have other questions related to other electronics, communications, art, computers, things like that, they're also most welcome here, as well as any discussion of communications in space, etc. Any subject is really even simple things like how do I connect this to this, any of that's just fine and dandy. So let me take a break here and see if there are any stations who have any issues real quick before we proceed with the roll call. Okay. The way you check into this net is very, very simple. You provide your name, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. It's that simple. So call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. We're going to do this in a somewhat sensible order, and we're going to do that by going through the roles in a logical way. So we'll start with November calls. Any November calls, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT, Charlie, with a pondering point to think about toward the end is fine.
Okay. N3CRT, good evening, Charlie, with your ponderous point. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Alrighty, let's see who else is there. November calls, please, K2BAR.
NS2K, Jim, no traffic at this point.
NS2K, very good, Jim. Good evening to you. Any other November calls, please call K2BAR. Okay, any QO calls, please call K2BAR.
KC2QIM, Peter with a question.
All right, Peter is back with his question. Excellent. Good evening, KC2QIM. K2BAR, or any other stations with Kilo, please call K2BAR.
Kilo, this is Zulu Oscar, no question.
Good evening, Jim, K2ZO, K2BAR. Any other Kilos?
Kilo 2, Alpha Mike India, K2AMI, with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Wish you a Merry Christmas as well, Tony, K2AMI. I'm sure you'll have a question or a comment. I'll put you down for a comment because you always have something. And that's a good thing, too. Alrighty. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Any others? Let's see. It'll be November. Whiskey stations. Yes, Whiskey stations. Please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, Don, no question.
KW2JEK, good evening, Don. Got you down. Any other whiskey calls, please call K2BAR. Okay, well, we have a startup here. It's a good startup group. We have N3CRT, NS2K, KCDQIM, K2ZO, K2AMI, and W2JEK. Any other stations I might have missed, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David, just joining, no question.
Hey, David, good evening to you. K2DSL, very good. And anybody else? This is K2BAR. Okie doke. All right, I think we're going to get started then. All right, on this beautiful night, I just want to say that the dinner was wonderful the other night. It was good friendship and fellowship all around. And sometimes technical discussions even ensued, and that was pretty cool as well. So let's go to Peter with his question. KC2QIM, your question, sir, from K2BAR.
K2BAR, KC2QIM, good evening to everybody, and likewise, I enjoyed the dinner. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't move around too much. I was really engaged on the table that I was on, and it was a lot of fun. But real quick, this is more of an experience question from the audience, and that is, I happen to have a Kenwood TS-430S, and I'm experiencing what I think are receiver problems. On the AM side, because I also use the radio to try to listen to international broadcast, and I occasionally dabble in the AM side on 80 meters, I have a very muddy, extremely muddy reception, no matter what kind of tuning and attenuation and everything else that I do. I have a very muddy, muffled experience from my receiver, and that doesn't matter what speaker or headphone I plug in. I'm just going to drop it for a second in case I lose the repeater. And then when I try to turn the volume up, I notice that I cannot turn the volume up that high. When I turn the volume up even up to maximum, it doesn't really drive any of the speakers or headphones to any great extent. So I'm thinking maybe I've got a problem in my audio stage or somewheres in there. I don't seem to have any problem transmitting. I have good reports on that radio. But the reception is really disturbing. Does anybody have any ideas? Back to the net, K2BAR, KC2QIM.
Yeah.
K2ZO, go ahead, K2BAR.
This is K2ZO. Define muddy.
Muddy is, the only way to clarify to some extent is tuning positive or minus 1 kilohertz on an AM signal.
Well, I'm still not quite sure what you're talking about, but are you using an AM filter?
I opened up the rig, and all the filters, or whatever filters are in there, are plugged in. There are three filters in the rig. I didn't really keep track of the, or note the types of filters. I wasn't trying to fix it at the time. I was just trying to, the casing of the rig was a little bent in from the top, and I was pushing it back, but I happened to notice there were some filters plugged in. Muddy meaning very muffled, no matter what speaker I plug into it.
W2AKR repeater.
Okay, tune to a single, put it on single sideband and tune to an AM station. Zero beat the carrier and see how it sounds then.
Jim, it does sound better when I do that.
Okay, well, I think what you've got is a sideband filter in the AM position.
Ooh, never thought of that.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to look at that even deeper.
Go ahead, Peter. Any other comments?
Tim just made a good point. It made me think. Now what I should do is check to see whatever filters are in there, that they're in the right right positions. And what I should really do is have an electronic version of the instructions and the other stuff. I should really, open a page up electronically in that document and see and open up the rig and look at the filters and see how they're placed. That's a very good point. Thank you very much, Jim. I never even thought of that.
Okay, there's another station who wanted to make a comment.
Yes, W2JEK. It just said the filter, maybe you've got a CW filter where it shouldn't have one. Maybe it should be in a, maybe it's a CW filter in a voice frequency location. Over.
Yep, I think you have a point there. I think you and Jim, I think that you're on to something.
Okay, it looks like I have a little project to do. I will open up the document, not tonight, but another day, probably over the weekend, open up the rig and check out the positions of these filters and make sure that they're in the right spot. Thank you guys very much. That's all I got to ask. That was been bothering me all a couple of weeks already.
Okay, please investigate and let us know what you find, okay?
Oh, Gordon, you know I will. And the other thing is, it's obviously going to affect the volume, because I can't get very good volume or high volume out of the rig.
Sure. Okay, very good. At this point, I have the other problem. I don't have crystal filters in either one of my... Actually, that's not true. At the IF, at the low IF, I don't have, you know, crystal filters. I do have a roofing filter at the high IF, or at the medium IF, I guess, in the 756 Pro 3, but there are no crystal filters in the 7000 or the 746 Pro. Anyway, that's pretty cool. Actually, is that really true? Yeah, probably is even true for FM, now I think about it. I think they use ceramic filters for that, but I may be wrong. There could be crystal filters in the FM side. Who knows? Anyway, enough of that. I believe we had a comment coming from Tony. Tony, did you want to say something? Oh, maybe not. Okay. Alrighty. Charlie, I think before we go to your ponder, this is, I know you want to be later in the net. I would like to see if there are any other stations who'd like to check into the net or to provide a comment or a question. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, KF2ID. I don't have any questions. I just have a little comment on the last go-around.
Ben, go right ahead. KF2ID, good evening. K2BAR.
Good evening. Well, if the audio sounds okay in a single sideband mode, then obviously there's nothing the matter with any of the audio stations. The only other comment I have is that receiver. I don't know whether you've got it used or what, or if you got the thing new or it worked at one time and you never changed the filters, then it would be something else. But if you got the thing used and you had this trouble from the time you got it used, well, that filter business certainly does seem highly suspect. KF2ID.
Yeah, I think so. Very good. Anybody have any further comments on this one? Even Peter maybe has yet more comments. Who knows? K2BAR, opening it up.
Report back to this group.
We doubled. I'm sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
No, I was just thanking Ben for his thoughts, and I was just confirming that the rig, yes, was bought used. It's always been that way. I've just been living on single sideband most of the time. But when I started using it for AM reception and stuff, it was really very muddy, and I had to off-tune to get any clarity. And the audio was, the volume was never really, you could blow up the volume all the way to the top of the potentiometer's limit, and it still didn't, like, crack any speakers.
Did you want to add anything to that, Ben?
No, I had no further comment. That was the only question, because obviously if you bought the thing new and it was working up to now, it couldn't be the filters were placed in the wrong positions. But since it's not new, it's quite possible the filters are bad, or maybe something the matter with the filter switch. it's been used, you know. Maybe whatever switch switches the filters is not functioning properly. It's the other possibility.
I'm definitely going to test this by pulling out the filters totally and see how the receiver sounds and everything, and then I'll make sure I turn off the rig and put the filters back in. And having opened up computers in my life and putting in chips and stuff, I don't have any fear of doing any of that. So, but thanks a lot, KC2QIM.
Won't work without the filters.
Oh, it won't work at all? Won't receive at all without those filters being in line?
Obviously, they're in line. You take them out, you broke the line.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to follow your lead there, Jim. Thank you very much. I would never have thought about it, but thank you. And I will report back on my progress. KC2QIM.
One last comment. You can replace the filter with a small capacitor where the filter was, and that'll open it way up for AM.
What value capacitor should I use?
Just a 001 or something like that.
That big? Try to find one somewhere. I'll probably have to harvest it from some old stuff that I have. Thanks a lot.
Jimmy, it should be that big. Shouldn't it be smaller?
What's the IF here?
I'm I'm not sure.
001 is not too small for a 455 KCIF.
Right, but I'm wondering if it's 9 or 10 or 11 megs.
All right, so make it 100 puffs.
That's what I was thinking, 10 or 100 puffs.
All right, I'm going to research it from a more technical perspective by looking at the manual and going from there.
Just to Jim's point, if you put a 001, you know, 0.001 capacitor in there, the worst case is that you won't get anything across it.
Why won't you get anything across it?
I'm sorry, you get too much across it. Wrong way. I was just worried about the frequency being a little on the high side for that big cap, but you'll be fine.
It's not a big cap.
Well, like I said, that frequency, it probably isn't, actually. I'm sorry. He's right. I'm wrong. Well, yeah, you could still make it smaller, I suppose, but whatever, you know, you get the idea.
I guess that's why they call it a tech net. It looks like one question leads to the other. But I'm jotting it down, 0.001.
If you have the opportunity, try a 10 or 100 puff as well, and let us know what works best and why, or how they work.
I shall report.
Grazie. Okay. I think we're good. All right. Anybody else want to beat this one to death a little bit more?
Kenwood TS-850 uses 0.01 in that place where they couple to the filters.
Really? Well, there's your answer. Guess they want to make sure you get plenty of signal.
KF2ID, one other comment. So you don't have to pull out all the filters. The only filter you have to worry about is what is specified as the AM filter. If the set function's fine in the other positions, then there's no point in pulling out its filters to check if you have that if that is the problem. So save you some effort.
Okay, so I have a question. Do I have it?
Yes.
Okay. If let's say the person before me took the sideband filter and switched it with the AM filter, and vice versa, the AM filter in the single sideband mode, that would create the same sort of symptoms as I described. Is that correct, Jim?
The radio usually defaults to the single sideband filter in the AM position unless you have an AM filter. At least all of my Kenwoods do. So that's probably what you're seeing.
Okay, so if, let's say, the filters are in the right spot, if I check this out, what possible other explanation could there be? Could it be that one of the filters is bad?
Well, I doubt it. First of all, you got to figure out what you got in the radio. Once you do that, then we can work from there.
Okay, fair enough. So I think we've beaten this tonight, Gordon. Back to you, KC2QIM.
M3CRT.
Jed Charlie.
I have a question for Peter. Was it you that was having the dots problem on this radio from time to time?
Yeah, that was on a different radio. That was a Kenwood TS-440 that I had purchased from Ron, WB2GAI. And then he actually bought it back from me. I mean, I didn't want to take his money. We wanted to fix it, and that's when I brought it to this guy in Queens, and he couldn't fix it. So Ron said, let me take it back and try to see what he can do. I think he's got it at some lab right now where they're giving it some kind of stress test or something.
Okay, just checking. That's good. That's a pretty common problem with the dots. It's just the VCOs get unlocked to the glue that they smear all over everything in there. And it just needs to be cleaned out, and like maybe what do? You seal the board again, and you're all set. So back to the net, 3CRT.
Okie doke. Very good, Charlie. Let's see. are there any other stations with questions and comments on this subject? Please call KGBAR. Okay, on to a new subject. Anybody have a subject at this point before I throw it over to Charlie? This is K2BAR. Okay. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this the other day, but I had had the opportunity to basically clean up my cabling and organization of my headsets. I have a ProSet Plus and a ProSet from Heil, and they're both very comfortable and very nice. And I guess the ProSet Plus I have is an IC version, meaning it's set up for ICOM and has no capacitor built into it. It's all squared away with that. So unfortunately, you need the no capacitor adapters for the one headset, for the ProSet Plus, and and you need the capacitor, you know, laden ones for the other. We talked about that. But in the process of going through all this, I made a point of accumulating a couple of different cases. And for the ProSet and for any of these smaller headsets, you know, ProSet, the Traveler, you know, your computer cable type, the computer type one, and all those others, I found a case that's just splendid. I don't know if I've talked about it before, but I did find a case from a company called Plano Outdoor Products in Plano, Illinois, and it's a clear plastic Lexan kind of case. Got a moisture barrier. It's just a beautiful thing. It's even got some foam padding inside. It's just marvelous. And it's even got attachment points on the outside for either securing in case you don't want someone to just open it up willy-nilly, or if you want to secure it in such a way so that you can make sure that it doesn't float away. And the other box I have for my ProSet Plus is an Outdoor Products, GSI Outdoor case, and it's similar. It looks like a lunchbox, a red Lexan, or they make them in like a translucent green as well. And so I have each one with its cables and adapters and a Morse code key and things like that in each case. So each headset has all the essential accessories you need to operate a radio. So I just wanted to bring that to people's attention. I'll try to put that on the website. That's pretty cool. And let's see, what else? I guess that's about it for right now. I know Charlie was going to try to give us a something to ponder. He has a ponder this kind of comment for tonight. I don't know if he's ready to do it yet, but let's try this. Are there any other stations wishing to join that? Please call K2BAR. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments for the net at this time? Please call K2BAR.
It's KF2ID. I got a very simple question. I have a Kenwood handheld, but I like it. Plug-in for charge. Problem is, I wanted to use my own external batteries for it. I tried to get a Kinect plug-in to that, and I went to Radio Shack, and I tried all the connectors. Finally got one that seemed that would work. Hang up for a second.
Model of the radio?
I didn't understand that question, Gordon. What'd you say?
What was the make and model of the radio again?
Kenwood TH-79A-L. Dual case. Like I said, I tried all the connectors that they had a bunch of connectors there and it worked. So I plug in and only I find that the connectors doesn't quite fit. Connection is intermittent. How to get a connector that would fit it?
Yeah, actually, I have one. Take the radio and the connector you have to, let's say, a different electronics store. Perhaps and start fitting connectors. Another one is try an automotive kind of place. Another one is a place like a Circuit City or a Best Buy, things like that. They might have basically multi-connection choices of various types that might suit your needs.
What
kind of connectors?
I don't know how to, it's a tubular connector. Positive pin that's inside the radio and to the connector. I don't know quite know what the name of it is. Outside shield, I assume, is the ground part. So the connector itself, hole in the middle for the positive pin to go in. It's actually a female, I guess. Yeah, I guess it would be a tower. The outside is the ground. All kind of items.
It's a coaxial power connector, John.
Yeah, and they come in different sizes. The problem is that the size of these things drive you nuts. Root Electronics, Root Wayne Electronics on Route 23 has a good selection. Bring the radio up there, and I'm sure you'll be able to find one.
What's the name of that place again?
Wayne Electronics on Route 23. Some of the Radio Shacks actually do stock some of those, but hard to find. Most of the stuff in Radio Shack now is just toys. But Wayne Electronics, I believe, has that connector.
Well, I did try Radio Shack, as I said, one that had a multiple of connectors. I tried that, you know, quite a while ago. Electronics, are they still in power? I thought they went out of business. Have you been there recently? Do you know they're
still in business?
I bought connectors from them last week.
Okay, well, I'll give them a try. Thanks again to everyone. This is KF2ID with K2BAR.
Okay, very good. You know, you also might be able to get an adapter from Kenwood themselves. Now, just out of curiosity, this is the AC adapter. Does it use the same AC adapter as the THF6 does? In other words, it's a 12-volt center's hot. It's very small. It's very fine on the center pin. And the overall thing, I think, is probably about an eighth of an inch in diameter.
Well, I don't know what the TH6 uses, but it sounds roughly the same. Well, I guess, like you said, it's a coaxial connector, and it comes from the AC adapter. And if I had a thing that would plug into the automobile, sure, it would be the same. There's only one receptacle on here for power, so I'm sure Ken would use this type of connector. Another thing is it's a fairly common connector because Radio Shack did have a selection of them. But the only problem is the one that it seemed like it fit didn't quite fit. That's the problem. It was off by maybe, a milli-inch or something, so that the connection was intermittent. And you know, if you hold it and press it and, you know, keep the pressure on one side, it made it. But it just wasn't quite the right size, and that was the problem. It looked the same. It fitted very nicely, snugly, and all of that, but it really wasn't quite the same dimensions. So the connection wasn't positive.
Right. Jim, would you carry on for a moment? I gotta take a phone call real quick.
Okay. Ben, those connections have a number of different diameters, and I had that exact same problem on a piece of MFJ equipment. I thought I had the right connector, and the thing would move around and it wouldn't work. So, no doubt, if you do a little searching and see what happens. But, you know, East Coast Parts is a Kenwood distributor. They may have it. You could give them a call. They're only out there in Long Island.
I suspect they don't sell the connector individually. It's generally part of an assembly, like the the AC adapter or the automobile adapter, plug into your cigarette lighter or something like that. Of course, those are standard parts that Kenwood has. You know, have that automobile liner. I was also thinking of cutting the lead and putting on my own adapter, connector, so I can plug it into one or the other. That's my last desperate. I really don't want to do that. If I remember, it's a very fine copper wire in there. It's a little wound around something. It's a little difficult to handle, and not impossible, but that was my last option. So I would use this connector and splice it, the wire, with some connectors that, you know, are readily available so I can plug whatever I want on it. But I don't want to do that. I'd like to, if possible, get the connector with the wires already sticking out, available to solder to. But we'll see. I'll try this Wayne Electronics. And worst comes to worst, I'll do what I just said. It's KF2ID.
Comment?
Yeah, go ahead, comments, KQBR.
Okay, Ben, this is W2JEK. One thought I have, I'm using right now in the handheld here, I have the automobile adapter that has the, fits into the cigarette lighter plug on your car, and that has the filter in it to filter out the hash from the alternator. And I'm using it right now with a power supply that has a cigarette lighter jack on it. And I was thinking of possibly you'd want to get a cigarette lighter coil. You could use your handheld with the in the vehicle with the power from the car as one option, and still use that, get a socket for a cigarette lighter socket, and use wire that up so that you could use that with your external batteries if that's what you had in mind. Possibility, I don't know just how exactly what you wanted to do, but that way you could have use either battery of your own doing or the battery from the car. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, W2JK, this is K2BAR, temporarily taking over for K2BAR. And, I'm sure you can find one, Ben. Don't cut anything apart. That's just a pain in the neck. I was able to easily pick one up that you could solder to once I identified what it was, and it took me a second try because the first one I had, it was the inner conductor where the pin went into was too big in diameter, and it didn't always make contact. So I'm sure you'll be able to find one. Unfortunately, they use a number of different sizes of those things. They all look alike, but they're not.
I'll give that Wayne Electronics a shot, I may use that other option of the cigarette lighter. Though it's a little bit, more wire and a little bit more clumsy. Not terribly so when using with an external battery, but that will be my last option. I really don't want to cut the wire. All right, this is KF2IT, and I guess I thank you for your suggestions. Back to K2BAR.
Okay, let's see where Gordon is. Well, I guess Gordon is still on the phone. Let's see, are there any other comments or anybody else with any questions or anything? This is K2BAR.
I'm dying to hear Charlie's epiphany. Over.
Okay, Charlie.
Oh, okay. I was going to wait a little bit for Gordon to hear. I don't know if he's listening, but I was thinking about, you know, what kind of aspects of our hobby are diminishing. You know, what is what did people do in the past that they aren't doing anymore? Not so much like a Morse code issue or anything. I don't want to bring up that because I know that is an issue with some people, but can anybody throw out a certain aspect of the hobby that just doesn't seem to be done anymore? I'll open up the floor. This is M3CRT.
Yeah, winding your own power transformers.
Okay. Anybody else?
W2AKR repeater.
Little packet radio activity. There is some, but not the way it was a while back. For instance, the DX cluster no longer uses packet radio. So that phase of digital, early digital transmissions has kind of decreased.
Yeah, but that's around here, Tony. In other areas, that's not true.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking about. And Jim has a good point in relation to what I'm going to talk about here. But amateur television, I know there is an amateur television repeater down south of us. It's south of the, you know, the you call that mid-state hump, going down below the Sayreville area, you know, down the turnpike that way, is amateur television. And I was thinking along the lines of with the whole transition to digital television, are there any advances in digital amateur television? And I just started to look it up, and I didn't really get too far into it, but it did interest me. And I found this this one website. It's a Eastern Carolina club, it looks like, and they've got some links to ATV on the left side of their page. So here, I'll give you the link. It's www.tangoechoalpharomeoalpha.org, like T-R-A, like a T-E-A-R-A, the Triangle East Amateur Radio Association .org website, and they have a link here on the left side for ATV. And what kind of intrigued my brain is someone took a consumer device. My cat is on my chair, clawing my chair, sorry. A consumer device that was marketed by Radio Shack, and this was a number of years ago, but it's a 2.4 gigahertz based ATV, and it falls within the amateur spectrum. So it was kind of neat to look at, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what the state of amateur television is up around here. I've never really heard anybody talk about it, but does anybody still have any ATV gear, or is it sitting on the shelf? Back to the net, this M3CRT.
I'm back.
Okay, take it, Gordon.
Thanks, Jim, appreciate it. Let's see. To Charlie's question, anybody have any thoughts? Okay, I have some thoughts. I have seen that gear. I think it's spread spectrum at 2.4. I don't think it's a fixed gear. I think it is, in fact, digital. So we could probably, you know, if we can get a model number off that website, that's TEARA.org website, we can probably look at that. A couple of things, you know, you might want to look at like MPEG-3, MPEG-4 kind of digital media. And then you might also consider things like H.264, you know, video standards as well. If you have nothing, why not do that? You know, getting an MPEG-4 encoder is pretty straightforward. They have codecs for that that are essentially built into a lot of laptops already.
I think you may be thinking of MPEG-2. MPEG-2 is a popular encoding process for television, and I know that exists on some satellite TV programming. But I'm wondering then, what do you do with the bandwidth? And, you know, do you need to operate up in the 2.4 gigahertz range just to have the ability to use that much bandwidth? So it's an interesting thing to consider. And for the cost of those little transmitters, they look kind of neat. It might be a fun fiddling project, even if it's one way, because it is I think it looks like it's a separate transmitter and receiver. So let's say at my house I had one, and at your house you had the other, and we could try it out. I don't know. And they also talk about Down East microwave amp, an amp that puts out 2.2 watts with 10 milliwatts drive. So that's kind of interesting. And they talk about ways to un-Part 15, might we say. Supposedly there's a pad in the output, and you just go around it, you know, you get rid of it, and you've got some better power there, and then you can add different parts to make it go louder, so shall we say. So it's just something to consider. I just looked that up real quick the other night. Thought it might be something nice to share and light a fire under somebody's butt or something like that. So back to the net, N3CRT.
Okay, Charlie, a couple of things. One is, there are both MPEG-2 and MPEG-4 formats. You're absolutely right, 2 is very popular. As far as bandwidth goes, let's consider this. If you need real time, you can shoot bandwidth. If you don't have a need for real time, but you have a need for high quality, you can stream it slowly, nice and slowly. You can essentially, if you will, download it. So there's a lot of opportunity space. Now, I have a camera built into my laptop, and I've already tested it with that service that that Vinny suggested a few months ago. So we could actually run that as well. So, you know, once we get the basics down, you know, putting it onto the radio with the gear you talked about there would be relatively straightforward. I think it'd be awesome to do. And, yeah, I could be convinced of doing that. Why the heck not? There's all sorts of good public service stuff you can do with it. If you can reduce frame count and you can do limited motion video, you could get high quality and limited motion. So, I mean, there's other things you can do as well. Once it's digital, you can decide what poison you want to pick, and I think that's key. Anybody else have maybe a camera built into their laptop or desktop machine, and might want to practice and play with that first across the internet and maybe then across radio links like Charlie described? This is K2BAR.
Comment.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I think last night we were on the Millennium on 6 meters there, and Jimmy KB2YJK was talking about amateur TV, and he said at one time there was a repeater. I think it was a 440 megahertz TV repeater, either on the Empire State Building or it might have been on the World Trade Center before 9/11, and that was a functional amateur TV repeater. So there was such a setup, fast scan TV, and I don't know if that still exists or not. But I guess there are people out there that are interested in that kind of thing. And of course, now with the new digital modes, you can do a lot more with the picture and everything else. One commentary that I have is whenever I see these pictures of a surveillance camera of some crook making a hold up in a store on our TV, the surveillance cameras, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for them if the quality is so poor. My 2 cents worth on that. Back to that, W2JEK.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some limitations to it. But it certainly would... would be better than nothing, and you can decide as to how much resolution you want to put into it. The cameras that are built into these computers aren't exactly wonderful, but you can put a higher quality camera into place. Speaking of video, I don't know why I didn't think of this before. NS2K, you've been obnoxiously quiet on this topic from K2BAR.
Yes, NS2K. I don't know. That's the nice part of digital television. You can abstract in a couple of different ways and speed things up, slow things down, kind of like cams used to do way back when.
You can also decide on reduced resolution. You can decide on good resolution but reduced frame count, all sorts of things like that, right?
Yeah, at that point you have... pretty much complete control. Start off with a very high quality picture and reduce it to its essence, whether it's frame count or resolution or color, black and white. There are a lot of things you can do at that point. And I suspect there's software around to help you do that. I haven't really followed that long, but I'm sure it's out there.
Let me ask a question about this. To address the bandwidth question, is there a way where we could, send one of every N frames out in real time, and then over time, as time allows, subsequently, you know, should we say resend, or not to resend, but send the missing frames and have them resync sequenced into a stream for later high quality full motion presentation, perhaps on a higher quality display format. Sign off. Sign off.
KC2QIM, I don't want to break this up, but I need to say good evening to everybody. Thank you very much for answering my questions before. Got to hit the sack, early to bed, early to rise. And see you next time around, and all the best.
Happy Hanukkah, and by the way, we've seen your face. You're not leaving us to get up and work tomorrow. You're doing this so that you get beauty rest.
Well, you know something? For 10, 11 weeks, I was out of work, and now I'm back at work the last 3 weeks, and I wish I was still out of work. I know this sounds funny, but, you know, I need the money, but I hate work.
5 more years.
That's the plan. 73, everybody. Be well. See you next time around. Ciao. 73. KC2QIM.
73, Peter. All right. So, Jim, my question?
Well, okay, at that point you'd have to essentially serial number every frame and decide, you know, to send occasional frames, perhaps in real time. Yeah, I've never seen any software that would actually do that, although it's not entirely unlike one of our projects at work, where it's sort of like UDP with feedback. We stream out over satellite all of these frames of video, or I shouldn't say in that case they're really not frames, they're really packets. And if any one packet gets lost in that case, or any some number of packets by individual receive sites, they'll send another request back by a completely different, much slower internet path, and request retransmit of those particular packets to those particular stations, at which point they'll be put back in the series where they belong. So, it's a weird sort of situation, but they managed to get pretty high transmission efficiencies without all the overhead that TCP/IP would require, and still guarantee the file integrity. But to do it the way you're talking about, I don't think I've ever seen that, although it wouldn't seem like to be, you know, that difficult. I should say that. It would seem certainly possible, put it that way, in SDK.
Okay, very good. All right. It's funny, the protocol you described, and in fact you mentioned satellite, well, it is essentially identical to a protocol I designed a while back for multicast. I say a while back, probably 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe more. I designed a multicast protocol, and it was so popular with the AMSAT boys that they designed their own that actually had less functionality. But it was one of their people who wrote the software or designed the protocol. Actually, I don't think there were many implementations. But anyway, that's just my own, you know, kvetching. But anyway, basically a UDP protocol with back channel recovery requests. That works very, very well. Anyway, we don't care where the requests come from as long as they come. Retransmit, you just include that missing frame or frames in the sequence on the broadcast channel, if you will, and let the receiver reassemble things. That's very clever. Anybody else? Okay, well, alrighty. Anything else on video or any other topics? This is K2BAR.
72JEK with a question going.
Sure, and just before I just hand it to you, just a note to Charlie, we have to get the the 2.4 gig link working between our domiciles before it becomes Stanhope on the west end of the connection, because we need to be able to demo that for the club in a couple of months. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, you mentioned having some kind of a lunchbox with the headset, the telegraph key in it, and all that, and sort of like a go kit to go with a particular radio, I presume, a headset that would match the plug on the front of a particular radio and a telegraph key that would match the key on the... also, that you've got to fiddle around with adapters and all kinds of stuff like that. I've had this situation on field day where I've gone out there with my telegraph key, and it's got a quarter-inch tip sleeve plug on it, and come along and find out this fellow's got a tip ring sleeve plug or something of that nature, and a lot of these things, of course, are set up to be used also with key or with a straight key, and standardization on any of this. I thought maybe you might have a comment on that part of it. Thank you. WTK.
Yeah, I do, actually. The basic standardization that I've defaulted to at this point is as follows: stereo headset, quarter inch plug for the headset. For the microphone, eighth inch monophonic female on the radio. The PTT line, quarter inch monophonic female on the radio, and for the for the key, you stereo connector, quarter inch, have an eighth inch adapter available, and have the ability to break it down to phono female for use with a straight key as well. That seems to be how I break mine down. The same thing goes with the PTT line. Even though the radio's input is quarter inch, I have the ability to break that out to a phono female as well, in case you're trying to bust a bunch of things together as a PTT enterprise. But that's what I use. So basically everything defaults to what a Heil adapter starts with and goes from there. Just for reference, let me drop it. I also keep the adapters for the headset with the headset, not with the radio. That way you pull the headset out, and whatever radio you have all the adapters you need, plus all the necessary cabling for PTT and, for CW, etc. All that squared away. So that way it's in the one box. The other thing I need to point out is that you need to have some sort of desiccant in these things, because, we all live in high humidity environments, or, we talk into a microphone, to a foam ball for a couple hours, and then we take the headset off, our sweaty ears and our humid, moist voice or speech, causes this pop filter to essentially become a sponge. So if you pop it in that container without a desiccant pack, you're going to find yourself with some corrosion over time. So that's something to consider. But I keep the adapters for my three radios or four radios with each of the headsets. I have Yaesu adapters. I have the three different kind of ICOM adapters for the three different kind of ICOM radios I have, and away I go. Oh, and Kenwood too. Does that answer your question, Don?
Yeah, Gordon, I think that does. Yeah, because my keys are mostly quarter-inch plugs on them, and do not use a key, so I guess that part of the problem. Also, my none of my radios have a built-in key, so that's another dimension that now that you need a three-wire connection to a radio that has a built-in key, which is that the radio is to be mounted externally, now that's mounted
same with the headphones, I guess. Mine takes quarter-inch plug. The people, they're trying to save on panel space and things like that. I use plugs. Thinking of plugs, the only thing I do not like, and I think Jim's in with me, some of the Kenwood radios that I see out for it is a hanging on a piece of short line coax that's hanging out the back. So another cord hanging out the back, which is your SO239 in essence, but it's hanging on a piece of coax about 2 or 3 inches long. Potential for problems there. Telephone work, we always knew cord was the weak link in all our testing equipment because that was where the flexing occurred, and that's where the copper wires broke. Back to that, W2JK.
Very good, Don. Anybody else have a comment? This is K2BR. Sorry about that. We just had a little medical incident in Washington. Everything is fine, but I had to take a status call on how number one son is, and he's doing fine, thank you. But anyway, so that sounds pretty cool, Don. And you're right, your world is a lot simpler because you're essentially quarter inch, two conductor. That's the way the world is, period, but the end. I do use paddles from time to time. But I also tend to use straight keys as well. And if I'm using a computer to do the keying, I also need a way to sometimes, you know, have that keying line come out of a computer and be in parallel with a straight key at minimum, and sometimes paddles, but not in parallel with paddles. I generally don't use paddle type output from my computer. I use straight key type output because it's just saner. Otherwise, you go nuts trying to figure out what's connected to what. Anybody else have comments about this? This is K2BAR.
Yes, this is KC2AWS, just returning home, and I heard the last of that conversation. It seems to me, if you have a microphone connector that has quarter inch, now the moderator that needs a plug or the telephone plug. KC2AWX.
Yeah, well, you got a little noisy there, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's quarter inch or eighth inch most of the time, and in some cases it's also phono. So, that's pretty much how it works, Harvey. You're absolutely right. Any other comments for Don's topic on keying and interconnections and such like that? Okay, I have one last one myself, and that is that by standardizing your inputs and outputs, you can interoperate much more fluidly. In other words, radio one, radio two, you can normalize all your switching equipment, especially if you're operating a single operator two radio, or a VHF operator will sometimes operate three and four radio, SO4R, which is a little bizarre, by the way, or, in case you're wondering, but been there, done that. And, you know, back in the day, as they say, they didn't enforce the one signal on the air at a time rule for single operators. So a lot of VHF operators would use a single computer and key 2, 3, 4 transmitters at a time on phone or even on CW. And let me tell you, that, you know, the wee hours of the morning, that's a godsend. When they started to enforce those rules, and you had single keyers or a single computer and you had multiple radios, what you do is you actually had a toggle back and forth between radios and call CQ on one, and while the other one was listening, you'd call CQ on the other. So you always had audio in your ear. It may not be the keyer audio. It would be the receive audio from the band you just called CQ on. So a lot of us had that set up in kind of a semi-automatic or fully automatic fashion. It was pretty cool. So, you know, normalizing your connectors to a common base is a good thing. W2JEK, K2BAR. Okay, I guess he had to go. Anyway, anybody else have any questions, comments, or confusions? This is K2BAR.
Comments.
This is KC2AWS, I guess. Remember, tomorrow is December 7th, and there's a contest for that day. And then for the 8th and 9th, for the weekend, there's another contest, 10 meters. So, enjoy, and everyone have a nice weekend. KC2AWS.
Absolutely. That's very interesting. Well, gee, if I had time tomorrow, I'd get in the contest with the call sign Whiskey 2, Tora, Tora, Tora. That'd be fun on Pearl Harbor Day.
2AMI with some comments.
I love you, I guess.
Absolutely. Hey, it's like my next four dogs, I'm going to get them all at one time. Tony, I got you, by the way. My next four dogs are going to be named Jesus, Moses, Vishnu, Muhammad. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, these are not too technical comments, but listened to the or on the internet observed the Amtrak Spectre, and somebody has just indicated that there's an indication that Peter Dahl may be going out of business at the end of this month. Everybody knows Peter Dahl Transformers. We'll have to monitor this to see if that's true or not. This is the first time I've seen a comment that he might be going out of business. The second comment was, again, I seem to get weather reports on Thursdays, and George Savvy and 2GCG has indicated that you should keep a very close eye to the weather, not just the storm that comes tomorrow, but one that comes on Sunday night. There's a prolonged delay in a heavy ice storm on Sunday night. And that's only predictions, of course, but if you're planning any outdoor activities, you'd better definitely check the weather for the weekend, including the end of the weekend. And that's all. Back to net control.
W2AKR, repeater.
Tomorrow. And again, charge your batteries, make sure your go kit's ready, make sure things are rocking and rolling. You're absolutely right. Anything else you asked about Peter Dahl. Anybody know about Peter Dahl, D-A-H-L, going out of business? Okay. Well, let's see what we can find. I'm checking now, Tony, to see if something comes up. On the Google search, Peter Dahl Company. Well, it doesn't show anything, anything in particular, on their website. So I don't know.
Yeah, a comment was made on the Amtrak Selector tonight. So we'll keep an eye on it and be informed next time. We'll probably get some answers. Comments from the fellows who use the Amtrak.
Well, his website is rather impressive. They have phone numbers and such, and you know, their website only has 387,774 hits since 2000. I don't know. He does some really impressive transformers. I'm looking at some of the stuff he's made. Darn, that's very impressive. I've seen the amateur stuff he does, but he does commercial work as well, so pretty impressive. Alrighty, anything else for the net, please call K2BAR. Okay, well, I think we're about ready to secure them. Last call before we secure any last comments that people want to make. Okay, well, I'd like to thank K2AMI and 3CRT NF2K, K2 KC2QYM, K2ZO, W2JEK, K2DSL, KF2ID, KC2AWX, and I'd like to thank N2FWI for paroling me so I could run the net tonight. This is W2TTT, the net control for the net, reminding you to support the Bergen County FM Association and their repeaters, both here on 14679 and 44100, 443100, all with a PL of 141.3. Also remind you that we run nets on Monday night on 28350 upper sideband at 9 p.m. with K2ZO as our very competent and capable host. On Tuesday night with on 443100 in Franklin Lakes with N2OEL running that net at, also at 9 o'clock. And, oh, by the way, that's also Kid Night at Washington Township at the Westwood High School around 7, so feel free to pop in to either or both of those. And also on Wednesday night right here on 14679 in Paramus at 9 o'clock, KF2ID, Ben runs the general chat net for the club. And, of course, this is W2TTT, your net control for the Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net. Thanking you all for showing up and thanking listeners as well. And we look forward to working you again soon. And good luck in the 10-meter and December 7th contest. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, freedom isn't free, and we're reminded of that tomorrow. This is K2BAR, Claire.